Hymn books, please, and open in number 70. And let's start our morning worship service today with this beautiful song, who going to bring us back into the holiness of God and the seriousness of God. Number 70 in our hymn book, please. You to move the pages of your hymn book to number 403, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Our scripture this morning in Jeremiah will confront us with the chaos in the times of Jeremiah, the city of Jerusalem was facing, with a tremendous governmental problems and tremendous situation, similar as today in our nation and within our church. And so this hymn is a challenge to all of us. Soldiers of Christ, arise.
Oh,
invite you to look upon the church bulletin just for a second, and you see a lot of material there. And first is our text for this month in Psalm 21 and in verse 13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thy own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. And I think that's a tremendous and remarkable text for all of us. The church bulletin indicated that we will have a quarterly business meeting right after the morning service. So we encourage you to greet each other after the service and remain here, those who are interested, right here inside the church building for the proceedings of the quarterly church business meeting. This afternoon is again a busy afternoon. At 2 o'clock, Brother Rash will preach in Pacific Hill Manor. Our choir will have rehearsal at 3 p.m., our children ministry at 3 p.m., the discipleship class with Brother Thompson and short history and Bible promises, and then back again at 5 o'clock here in the church building and the main building for our evening worship service. Our Bibles have arrived. There are 1,000 Bibles that we commit ourselves to the Christian book distributors have arrived totally, are here in our facilities. And during this week, 100 Bibles will be prepared, ready for distribution. I want to have a committee meeting so that we can sit down and talk and see who is going to come and make the distribution, what are we going to say, and how we're going to put things together. We welcome the young people, always will be with an adult and these. And again, it's going to be a remarkable time as the neighborhood here in Morgan Hill will receive those who are welcome, a Bible from the King James Version into their hand. And I, for what I see and what happened in my neighborhood right here at the top of the hill, Raquel gave a Bible to our neighbor, Mimi, and she held that Bible in her hand, and she said, this is the first time in my life that I hold a Bible, 33 years old lady, and this is in America. And I tell you, the sermon today will touch the issue that we have forgotten the Lord who have raised us. And also I want to the men to know that this Saturday, in full color, we will have 8:30 in the morning our breakfast, father and son breakfast, and it's going to be right there in Mary Callender. You can meet me here at 8 o'clock or go directly to the restaurant in Mary Callender right here in Morgan Hill. After the breakfast, our guest speaker, Pastor Van Dyken, will address us. And I ask our brother to bring the guitar and to have a great song for us. And so we're going to have a nice, wonderful praising God with the guitar. And our brother said yes, so that's fantastic. We're going to have a great time together, enjoying ourselves in a marvelous way. And if I'm in good shape, then the young people will have that soccer game that we have. Otherwise, I tell some of you to do it. I don't think I can agitate my body after the surgery tomorrow. But I hope that by Wednesday, all is gone. I don't pay attention. All right. Now, I want you to know, if you're a guest and you have not given us your address, I'm sure that you receive a package from our ushers. And if not, you just take the church bulletin and let me know that you are here. We send you a car. We never embother anybody in the door and so on. We send you a car, and we want to say thank you for fellowshipping with us. Also, we want to welcome those who are listening on KKMC, and we are also to welcome those who are in the internet, and some of them want to be part of our family as a church member, as an extension church member, and we welcome them with all our heart, and we will send you the material, the church membership material and so on, wherever you live. We know we have people in Baltimore, we have people in Ohio, we have people in Michigan, across the nation. It is amazing. And it is good. And I just received letters from Florida. There is about 9 families that meet together to worship the Lord at this hour. It's 2 p.m. in Florida with us. And we welcome them into our fellowship. And we hope that the preaching of God's word, the songs from the choir, the Bible reading will bless our heart. And they, after the broadcast, they are not listening to a show, but they are in the presence of God, listening to the counsel of God. This is my dream. And as a result of that, we will become more like Jesus when we leave this place. Now may I encourage you to stand and open the hymn books at number 393. This is an old song, but this is a song that is a challenge for us today. Take my life and let it be. Number 393. Let's look to the Lord in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we begin this day, this morning worship service, rejoicing in you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace toward us as individual and also as a ministry. We confess and proclaim that this is the day that you have made, and we purpose to rejoice and be glad in it. We lift up this day with its activities, its decisions and creativity. We offer all up to you, O Lord, and acknowledging Jesus as Lord of all and asking you by the Holy Spirit to use it for your glory and for your honor. We pray for your will to be done in us individually and as a church ministry. We thank you for the delivering us from the authority of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We are living and we are growing in that kingdom of Jesus. We thank you for your love. We are imitators of you, walking in love, in truth, in light, and in wisdom inside this church building and outside these facilities. We're asking for and also expecting that the former and later rains to be poured out on this ministry and into the life of the people we ministry so that we can fulfill your assignments. Father, look upon the needs of your people and answer them according to your will. Look upon the needs of your church and motivate them to keep on with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have called us by your grace for such a time like this. We rejoice in the outpouring of your Spirit in our church. So we offer this day, your day, to you, O Lord, in the precious name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Speaking to you from Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill. We are reaching the KKNC audience in a very special way, and we pray that this opportunity of listening to the gospel and listening to the church service will be of great experience to you, that you may receive right where you are, the presence of God's love and the presence of God's holiness. Again, we offer the service of our church to the phone number 408-778-2595. 408-778-2595. And we pray that you will be able to communicate with us, maybe relate a prayer that you need, maybe send us an email, dr.otero@cs.com, dr.otero@cs.com. That will be our email address. You can send me an email for prayer. Meantime, let's grow up together as a church, as the body of Christ, and may we glorify his name forever. Let's join the church service in progress.
before your throne of grace, to love and worship you and listen to your voice. You are our Father, and our hearts rejoice.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verses 1 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew. So please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Jeremiah 7, verses 1 through 20. The Lord, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, 'Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord.' Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, 'Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations'? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go you now into my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough, to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched." Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you because you have dealt with us mercifully and have reconciled us to yourself through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. whose body was broken and blood shed for our sins. As we look at the scripture and see how ancient Israel did abominations in your sight, and how we see similar abominations which are so commonplace around us even today, give us strength and discernment that we will not succumb to wickedness, excusing ourselves because some sin may be legal in a civic sense or some other rationalization. For we know that when we violate your law, you will not hear us. Our desire is to do your will according to your word. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to instruct us according to your word. Bless him and guide him, that he may accurately expound the scriptures and bless those that hear with understanding. We pray for those who do not know you, so that they may hear and believe the good news of your love and mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's word. Modern day mayors, city councils, and urban planners and citizens of America often debate what the future of their cities will be and should be. For many cities in America, the outlooks are bleak. Yet, who knows what wise planning, hard work, and prayer can accomplish for those cities. Jeremiah gave us an idea of what is to live in chaos. In Jeremiah's day, Jerusalem was a city with a very green prospect for their life. Its moral fiber had weakened to the point where sin was open, tolerated, and was very apparent to the people, and they did nothing. If you have a Bible, I counsel you to open in Jeremiah chapter 7. And I promise to use a lot of scriptures all in Jeremiah, so it will be easy for you this morning to find it. Look at verse 17, what verse 17 says in Jeremiah chapter 7. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? You see, sin was very apparent, was very open. The people of Jerusalem practice a lifestyle of fraud, corruption, sexual immorality, injustice, murder, and idolatry. Now, for these, the Lord promised to destroy the city in virtual firestorm of judgment. Move your Bible to now to Jeremiah 4, and look what the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and in verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury can pour like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Now, you who know the Bible know that this wrath of God, which took the form of an invasion by the Babylonians, could have been avoided. If the people of Jerusalem had returned to the Lord and reaffirmed their covenant with him, all these can be avoided. Look across the page in Jeremiah 3 now, verse 12 to 14. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12 to 14. Go, say God to Jeremiah, and proclaim these words toward the north and said, return, thou backsliding Israel, said the Lord. and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers and the every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So the chaos that came with the Babylonians, with the Chaldeans, could be avoided. But they perish in their sinful way, and the judgment of the Lord came in full strength to the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. Their judgment of the Lord came in full strength and full power to the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. Now, as I read, Jeremiah is my favorite book, and is my book where I did my thesis in the Old Testament. So I know it like the back of my hand. And I asked myself this question. Are there any lessons for America's cities and from the Church of God that Jerusalem can teach us? No one can say whether any of the American cities stand under God's impending judgment, because we are no God. On the other hand, where we see kinds of sin and ungodliness similar to those that were practiced at Jerusalem, we can conclude, because of the Word of God, that sooner or later, God will step in and America is going to be punished. He will not allow a country who enjoyed the gospel, a country that was founded on the Word of God, he will not allow wickedness to go unchecked forever in our country. Notice with me, if you please, several reasons why I believe Jerusalem fell under God's wrath. And I'm going to mention them, and I go back one by one. Number one, Jerusalem lost sight of its vision. Jerusalem lost sight of its vision. Like if you as a Christian lose sight of who you are. Secondly, the city leaders failed to address its problems. The city leaders failed to address the problem. And then the city choose to do nothing. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not do anything. And so you will see the option that God gave to Jerusalem, which is an option that God gave to you and Bethel, and an option that God gave to the Church of God. Number one, Jerusalem lost sight of its vision. I'm going to list about four or five things that are obvious. Number one, in chapter 2, verse 2 to 7, the city forgot its a special place in God's plan. The city for God, it's a special place in God's plan. Chapter 2, verses 2 to 7. Go and cry, said God to Jeremiah, in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus said the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness and in a land that was no sown. This is a remembrance of Israel before coming to Jerusalem, how they seek the Lord. Verse 3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. You got that one? Israel, who now is in chaos, was holiness unto the Lord. And the first fruit of his increase, all that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, said the Lord. Hear ye the words of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus said the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of peaks, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwell. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Do you hear that? The city, the people of God, I'm talking about the unbelievers, talking about the believers, the people of God, for God, the special place they have in God's plan. Now remember Acts 1:8, where we study in the evening, as we study almost a year and 3 months, the book of Acts. We are witness of the Lord in whatever city you are. And they forgot that. Number two, worse than that, the priests forgot the Lord. Look at verse 8, same chapter, verse 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? You know the word Lord over there with capital? Where is Jehovah? The priest. They're supposed to preach Jehovah. They're supposed to proclaim God. He said, and where is Jehovah? The priest. Forgot the Lord. Worse than that, the preachers forgot the Lord. Look at verse 8 again. The priest said not. Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgress against me. And the prophets, which are the preachers, prophesy by whom, ladies and gentlemen? By Baal. And walk after things that do not profit. The preachers do not know the book. The preachers that handle the law do not know the Lord. Amazing. Jerusalem lost sight of its vision. The city forgot the special place. The priests forgot the Lord. The preachers forgot the Lord. And Jerusalem had become as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah. Go with me to chapter 23. Same book of Jeremiah. Chapter 23 and verse 14. In chapter 23 and in verse 14. Jerusalem had become as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to the word of God in Jeremiah 23:14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Hey, that's serious business. We're not talking about the Gentiles. We are not talking about those who are outside the kingdom of God. We are talking about the people that should be a witness for God. And God is saying about them, you are as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah because you lost vision of who am I in your life. What could save the city? What will you do? I thought to myself, what will you do, Gabriel, if you get a phone call from the mayor of the city of Jerusalem or from the secretary of state like I got last week of Colombia and said to you, sir, our nation is in trouble. what will you do? Well, look at chapter 5, verse 1. I was amazed. Chapter 5, verse 1. The city is in chaos. How much resources taken to save a nation? How much does God need to save a people like America? Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye, he's talking to the prophet of God, run ye to and fro to the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man, one. If you can find one, if there be any that execute the judgment, that seek the truth, and I will pardon the city. Jeremiah, look around, and if you find one guy who really seek for God, I save the city. Jeremiah, go and see if you find a preacher who loves the word of God. I saved the city. Jerusalem lost sight of its vision. Secondly, the city leaders failed to address the problem. The city leaders failed to address the problem. You know, when you got a problem, and what do you do if you drive a car? You know, modern cars, they have lights. I like those cars that have the measure, you know how much the battery you have temperature. But now in modern cars, and I was sitting in a super Mercedes Friday, and my brother Ken was driving. I was watching the car, lights everywhere, you know. Now, what do you do? You see a red light. Do you get a hammer and you give it to the dashers? I don't like that red light and break it. The city leaders failed to address the problem. Jeremiah 3 and verse 6, they despised the reform of King Josiah. You who know the Bible know that God in mercy gave them a king as never before, Josiah. In chapter 3 and in verse 6, they despised the reform of King Josiah. The Lord said, I'm reading Jeremiah 3, 6, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? Listen, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah. Josiah was a remarkable preacher, and behind his back, Israel was in sin. They despise the reform of the king. Number two, they despise the sovereign example of punishment of Israel's kingdom. Look in Jeremiah chapter 3 again, verse 7 to 10. And I said, after she hath done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. In other words, God said to Israel, you return to me, come back to me. And Judah, who was faithful at that time, saw it. And they saw that Israel did not. And they saw what God did to Israel. And they are not afraid of God. Look at verse 8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. In other words, remember at that time there were two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. They all was Israel, but were divided. 10 tribes constitute the kingdom of Israel. 2 tribes constitute the kingdom of Judah. And God punished Israel by taking Israel out of the land, and Judah is watching and doesn't repent to it. They are no learning. They despise the sovereign work of God. You know, the leaders pursue worthless idols. Look at it in chapter 2 and in verse 11. Chapter 2 and verse 11. They pursue worthless idols. Had a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed the glory for that which does no profit. The people of God have changed, the people of God, they have changed the glory of God for whatever. Lesser. The leaders pursue vain wealth. Look in chapter 4 and go with me to verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, that's fine clothing, though thou deck thee with ornaments of gold, that's jewelry, though thou rentest thy face with painting, that is whatever the ladies use, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. The leaders pursue vain wealth. Their thought was in this world. The leaders were seeking power. Look at in chapter 2. In verse 36 and 37, why gatherest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou was ashamed of Assyria. Yeah, thou shalt go forth from him and thy hand upon thy head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidence. You know, when people have power, you have confidence. You remember when you start learning how to swim? You were very careful, and you try to be in the shallow area in case you have to stand. But once you learn, you got confidence, and you move on, and you go. And you have confidence in yourself. And that's what happened here. Israel, the leaders, pursue power, and they got it, and so now we can do it ourselves. The leaders offer only false assurance. Look in chapter 6 and in verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughters of my people, slyly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. See, that's false assurance. False assurance. That's exactly like our leaders want to do. No being political, but our governor wanted the president of the nation to put a top price on electricity, like this will solve the problem. They want to patch things so that they look good, with all respect of our governor. The city leaders fail to address the problem, and when you fail to address the problem, you put patching things, and the problem is still there. Now, thirdly, I saw in the book of Jeremiah that the city chose to do nothing. Who cares about this? Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. The Lord lay a choice before the people. God is so good that he, in patience and in mercy, come back and say, here's a choice. You have a choice, ladies and gentlemen, and here it is. Let me read it for you. For if ye truly amend your ways, that word amend is too old for you. Amendar is a Latin verb that is very familiar for the Spanish people. My grandmother will say, you need to amendar your school your problems. You need to amendar. Amendar was a favorite word of mothers, because it's the strongest word to say you need to turn around. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the strangers, and so God is really giving them an opportunity. The fatherless and the widows, and shed no innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Then, verse 7, will I cause you to dwell in this place and in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. God's not going to put up with our problems. God is not in business of patching problems. God is in business of getting through. And God came to this city. God came to this city in a marvelous way to these people. And he said to these people, here is your choice. Either you change your ways or otherwise you get the judgment. Now, the only people that take the choice is those who believe it. You know what they did in chapter 4 and in verse 26? The Bible tells me they choose to do nothing. There was no harvest, no more celebration, nothing. Chapter 4, and let me read verse 26. I beheld, said Jeremiah, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. The fruitful place was a wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. See, if you choose to do nothing, that's the expectation in your life. So let me review this because there is a solution to this. Don't think I'm going to leave you like this and say, oh boy, we're in trouble in America, or we are in trouble, we can do nothing, and God can do nothing. Here, where are we going to help? No. The choice is here. And it's simple for the believer. If you're an unbeliever, then you have to repent and believe. But if you're a believer, the choice is here. And I believe it with all my heart. And our cities today face social, moral, and spiritual problems similar to those of Jerusalem. So our church, the church of God, the members take choices of their own. They care less what the church is doing, and they do what they want to. And only takes a strong man to keep on as being a pastor. Otherwise, he will hang the shoes and do something else and enjoy the presence of God in his life. But the members of a church take the liberty to do what they want to. Just like Jerusalem. Everybody does what they want to. There's chaos, ladies and gentlemen. Read the book of Judges 21:21. You cannot do that. They also face similar options for renewal. Please, don't blame the government for the problems of America. Blame yourself. Please, don't blame the government for the problems of America. Blame yourself. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. What's the solution for Jerusalem? What these people need to do if they want this nation to be standing before God as an example of God, I said, a nation that is the witnessing power of God. What this nation, what God does tell this nation through their prophet Jeremiah to do, something that I learned from childhood, something that I learned from my pastor when I was 17 years old, something that is engraved in my heart, something that had a reward that a secretary of state of a country calling me to the radio, calling me to my home, connecting the phone in my house, and said, Pastor Otero, our nation is in trouble. The whole nation is listening. The lines of all the stations are connected. Pray, he said, for our nation. And I was able to pray for 15 minutes, 2 days on the roll. And the next day, Raquel called and said, the whole nation now knows that there is a God. I was telling my boss what happened. He said, how in the world God did this? But God knows that I believe in prayer. Would prayer save these people? Well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm going to speak to you, Bethel Baptist Church, with all love, but with all seriousness as your pastor. And I want to speak to you who listen over the radio and you who listen over the internet as well. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives? And what God said? And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. And pray. Pray for the city. Gather the people and pray. Pray for it. Beloved, don't blame the government. In this town, I ask how many churches. I call every church and every pastor. So I only have one question. How many prayer meetings do you have? He said, well, one church told me we have a prayer meeting in homes of people. 47 churches in this town, Morning Hill. One church have a prayer meeting in the homes of people. We had two prayer meetings, Wednesday night and Friday afternoon for those who are available in the area. And a handful of people come to pray. Ignoring the prayer is what God wants if you're going to stand along with God and be a witness. The stronghold of our church is prayer. Your life, the stronghold of your life is prayer. If you have no prayer, God says, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away, and pray unto the Lord. Pray unto the Lord. We're believing, of course. Don't blame the government. Don't talk about the government. Talk about yourself. I choose to do anything I want to rather than coming to prayer meeting. Say it in your heart. Lord, forgive me. Lord, please give me vitamins. Give me strength. Give me anything that I needed, but help me to pray and to pray, because you're going to be destroyed, or your children are going to be destroyed, or your grandchildren are going to be destroyed under the power of the enemy. And it's not to blame the government. It's not to blame the missiles. It's not to blame President Bush or President Clinton or anybody. It's to blame ourselves, because we take prayer very lightly. We don't believe in prayer. That's what happened. And irritates me because I'm the pastor. If we're going to conquer the city, if these Bibles that I preach to you today, they're going to be handed to the people, going to produce an impact in the hearts of this city. It's only going to be done if you come to pray. If your life is going to change, and you're going to have a different marriage, a different work ethics, a different environment, if you want any change in your life, you need to pray. We have no power in ourselves. We are nothing before God, but we have the God of heaven on our side. The God that gives you the job. The God that gives you life every morning. There is two things I said before bed to Raquel, apart from kissing. Here it is. I said, thank you, Lord, for today. And when I opened my eyes again at 4:30 in the morning, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I got the energies. I take a shower. I shave myself. I put perfume and run to the gym. I'm the only white with perfume in the gym. I didn't know. Because my life. And thank you, Christy. I have a jersey that says Jesus on the back. That the young people give it to me. And I do a treadmill with mirrors in the back, so it's reflected everywhere. And amazing, all the two things here, the people try to stay far away from me. That's America. Nobody yet has asked me, why do I carry Jesus in the back? And I go to people and say, hi, how are you? And I go like this, say, how are you? I love America. A missionary led to the Lord to my grandmother. I know the Lord because one of your men gave his life for my country. I said, Lord, I want to give my life for this country. But it's going to be through prayer. It's going to be through prayer. Your home will change. Your life will change. The unbelievers will be broken like stones with a big mass and will come to believe if we pray. Don't give up. Prayer is the solution to your life. Your husband left. Your wife left. Your children are in trouble. Don't panic. Pray, say the Lord, and I will be with you. See, when we pray, we don't tell God what to do. We say, God, it's me in times of need. Oh, may God help us. May God help us that we never blame the government of the United States of America for the chaos, but rather blame ourselves, because little by little, the Lord has given us progress. Have you seen the other night, 2020, in Romania? Have you seen how those people live? Have you seen babies tie up with the hands in the back and their feet because they were born maybe with paralysis or something, and what are we going to do, dump it over there? And have you seen that? Have you seen babies by hundreds all wrapped up over there to be sold to some place? Do you want America to come to that? It is not by our mighty military power. It is not by great government or by a house of justice. It is by prayer. By prayer. We need to be humble, and we need to pray. And when we pray, the house of God will be filled and the country will be changing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the solution to our problems. We ask forgiveness because we took the liberty to take decisions that are not good. We took decisions that prayer is something that just take very lightly. If I want to, I pray. If I don't want to, I don't. And that's very bad, Father. That's very bad. It's a shame. Lord, forgive us. And give us, oh God, a heart to pray. Because we love this country that you raised. We look like Jerusalem. We let do nothing. We let the country go. We talk about politics. We talk about parties. And we talk about solutions. But Lord, the solution is not in the politicians. The solution is in the church. But the church is sleeping. No sleeping for doctrine, no sleeping for the preaching, sleeping because they pray not, they do not humble themselves before you. My heart bleeds, O God. O Father, cause your people to pray so that we can save America and we can still be a witness to the world. In Jesus we pray, amen.
We need wisdom, we need power, and true love for each other. We have heard so many big but empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Bring your people to a state of kingdom life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary needs, but to restore the authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants and your wounded, broken soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross as the only source for us. When we stand up facing final battle cry, restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand, we pray. Let your kingdom shine upon us. not for temporary deeds, but to restore the authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in, touch your people once again. Touch your people once again.
Will you stand, please, as we pray? I remind you again, right after, we're going to have a business meeting right after we greet each other. Heavenly Father, we become so involved in the world that we also lose the fear of God like Israel. And we see sometimes what happened to neighbors or to other believers because they disobey you and we pay no attention. Forgive us. Help us to see the red light in our life. And help us to pray so that we may recover. And when all is done, we're going to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.